Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose.
Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention, CBS Hotline fans.
There you go. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike Pete across the way, Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. We should be joined by DeMarcus Ware sometime this hour. The bottom half of this hour, sometime between 8:30 and 9 a.m. Eastern time. He should be with us in studio. So look forward to that conversation, Taz. Let's get this hour kicked off right. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Ezekiel Elliott deal is done.
It is done. There you go. 6-year, $90 million extension. The deal includes $50 million guaranteed. That contract is done. He's expected to be at practice today. Expected to suit up Sunday as the Cowboys entertain the Giants in their home and season opener to the 2019 campaign. But that long drama is now over, Taz. And there was a lot of heat over the weekend. Labor Day weekend did not happen. Then yesterday there were reports that he and his agent were flying back to Dallas from Cabo, that the deal was expected to be signed yesterday. And the deal finally got done. Maybe the last hookup was the guaranteed money, where he gets $50 million guaranteed and he surpasses the deal of $45 million guaranteed that was signed by Todd Gurley a couple years ago.
Yep. So, listen, he got the deal he wanted, Zeke Elliott. And you know what? Congrats to him. You know what? It's just he's the NFL's leading rusher last year. He's a great, great player. We've been talking about him a lot through our show. If you're just joining us now, you can check out the podcast of Taz and Moose every day for free at radio.com on the app or the website. Or go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. You can hear Taz and Moose. We do a 3-hour show every day. You guys are busy. Sometimes you can't listen to the whole show live. So we talked a lot about Zeke Elliott, Moose. And we went deep into it and talked a lot about Jerry Jones and some of his public leveraging and some of the stuff him and his son had said. That, you know, like it's Stephen Jones is saying, we're not going to go past, do like a Todd Gurley type thing. Meanwhile, well, like you just said, Moose Gurley got $45 million guaranteed, and now Zeke Elliott's getting $50 million guaranteed with a $90 million extension. Look, I don't fault the Cowboys or the Joneses. They had to do this. They wanted it. They want to win the Super Bowl. And this guy, Zeke Elliott, helps you win the Super Bowl. He's a tremendous player. He makes your quarterback, Dak Prescott, that much better. You had to do it. You had to get him. And, you can't take it with you, as the expression goes. And Jerry Jones, he's spending it, that's for sure. And he's not done spending because he's got Cooper coming up and Dak.
Yeah, you're right. I think the Cowboys, if you're looking for a team that or a side that blinked, it was the Cowboys that blinked. Elliott gets the contract that he's looking for. He sets the new high bar in terms of guaranteed money for NFL running backs in a contract extension, surpassing Gurley's deal. He gets financial security long term. And the Cowboys, also understand, as much as they want to talk up Tony Pollard, Taz, they need Elliott on the field. As much as Jerry Jones tells you, well, we need him for the playoffs and we want a fresh Elliott during the tough and dog days of the NFL regular season. Nonsense. I mean, they made sure, and there seemed to be a rush, or as some reported over the weekend, Taz, a quote-unquote urgency to get this deal done with Ezekiel Elliott. And I'm sure, obviously, Elliott's happy. He's happy to be back in the fold. He's a football player. He wants to play football, and he gets rewarded for everything that he does. The other guy that's got to be happy, though, with all the pressure in the world on him, is Jason Garrett. Because, there's a lot of people that look at Jason Garrett, Taz, as this might be, if they don't have a good year, this could be the final year of him as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean,
that's an excellent point we didn't bring up.
Yeah, the first guy that's got to be, he's got to be maybe the third guy on the list. But if I'm Jason Garrett, I'm pumping my fist this morning that this deal is done and I'm going to have number 21 on the field.
Well, you're right, because he would be in the proverbial hot seat, and his name's been shattered for the past year or so with that. And if the Cowboys didn't go deep into the NFC Championship or what have you, or the Super Bowl, Garrett might be Gonski. Now, not that it's a foregone conclusion they're going to go to the Super Bowl here just because Zeke is back in town, but you know, as long as he stays healthy and all those weapons on that team stay healthy, you know, for Cooper and obviously Dak Prescott and a really good offensive line, a good defense, you know, they got everything lined up to really dominate, in my opinion, that NFC East for sure. And I do think that what Jerry Jones does here, he puts these notices on notice and all these teams in the NFC, we ain't playing games here. We want to win the conference and we want to go to Super Bowl. I really think that part of his competitiveness to Jerry Jones, and he proved that, and it cost him $50 million guaranteed with a $90 million extension.
Yeah, and he's back in the fold. So the Cowboys are happy. I'm sure the NFL is happy. Ezekiel Elliott is happy. They've got two more contracts, as Taz alluded to, and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott that they've got to work out. But that doesn't have to be in the here and now. Elliott did. He wanted to be back on the field. They wanted him back on the field. They needed him to be back on the field. And Taz will be at practice today. And he'll be on the field as long as everything goes well over the course of the next 2-3 days. He'll be back on the field on Sunday as the Cowboys entertain the Giants.
Number two.
Jared Goff agrees to contract extension with the Rams.
Yeah, it's a $134 million extension, Taz. $110 million guaranteed.
We're over here talking about Elliott. Right? I mean, and like, this is story two. Think about it. I know it's because the other one was hot news. But yeah, we talked at the top of our program here today, Moose, about Jared Goff. And I was mentioning about, you know, when Goff was playing under Jeff Fisher, and it was not, he was El Stinko. And now, as a young guy, but once McVay got into the life and became the head coach of Goff, things changed for sure. And he's had a lot of success, this young man. His completion rate is like 62% and 64% in 2017. Well, it's actually, it was 62% point what I'm looking at now in 2017 and 64.9% in 2018. So, you know, he's had 60 touchdowns and only 19 interceptions, which is, for the amount he plays, it's not bad. He's real deal, and he's their guy. You know, he's their guy. He's their franchise guy, and by paying him this kind of money, they show it. And the chemistry with him and McVay, the head coach, you know, that the offensive guru and quarterback guy he is, it really works, and hence the success of the Rams.
Well, it's he's a different player, McVay, than he was under Jeff Fisher, Taz, who we've poked fun at before. He's developed into that franchise quarterback. He's the Rams franchise quarterback. He's not the perfect passer, but he fits that system and has a great understanding of what he needs to be as he continues to grow as a young quarterback in the National Football League. And when you find the guy and a guy that you're very, very comfortable with, you want to make sure that there's no nonsense here moving forward. And just as Elliott sets a new bar for running backs, you look at this gentleman sets the new bar for quarterbacks, does he not?
No doubt.
$110 million guaranteed.
Yes, sir. He does.
For quarterbacks.
You know, got some serious weapons, as we talked about. Weaponry, if that is a real word, on that Rams team around Jared Goff, from Cooper Kupp to Robert Woods to Cooks. And you got Todd Gurley, and we got to see what his knee's like, what his health is like. You know, you bring in a guy who was a starter for the Jaguars last year as the backup in Blake Bortles to Goff. You know, and he's like an afterthought, obviously. But Goff making this kind of money with this kind of team with a really good offensive line and a strong defense. And you got to look at the Rams. They are going to be in it to win it again this year for sure. So, you know, it's a big deal. And you have these two big-time NFC players and Zeke Elliott signing these insanely expensive deals. And then Goff last night signing this insanely high-end money deal in the NFC. This is some potent stuff, so you see these two teams battling out in the end. You never know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And the Rams are expected to be one of the teams that potentially can get themselves back to a Super Bowl here in the NFC. All right, next.
Number three.
Nat's incredible walk-off win versus the New York Mets.
Oh, God, this is horrible. Oh, my God. Well, not for you. It's for me. You know.
Right.
Don't be coy, please, sir.
Well, the Nats, in their history, ninth inning or later, sit down six runs or more, were 0-775. Now they're 1-775.
Oh, my God. Look,
the Mets as a franchise had never blown a 6-run lead in the ninth inning till Tuesday night.
Yeah.
The Mets were re-rallied after what was a loss, the second part to their homestand, losers of 6 in a row, win a series down in Philadelphia, win game one on Labor Day of this Nats series, have a 6-run lead going to the bottom of the ninth last night down in Washington. They start the inning with Sewald. He brings the gasoline tank to the mound. Then they bring in the lefty, and then they close it out with Diaz.
Nightmare City.
Diaz gives up the double to Zimmerman, and then gives up the home run to Suzuki as the Nats win in walk-off fashion.
I mean,
seven runs, bottom of the ninth inning.
How many more times does Diaz have to show this team and show Mickey that he sucks? I mean, how much more does it have to happen? I'm watching this game, and I go to sleep. I'm counting orange sheep. What is it, 10-4, whatever it was? The Mets are in strong lead. I don't know. It was like the eighth inning, whatever it was. I'm like, this is great. Ninth inning. I'm like, we're in. We're done. Good night. Bye-bye.
No, didn't happen.
Listen,
here's the issue you have. You don't have a lot of viable relievers in that bullpen.
Well, that's been the issue all year at a ball.
Right, correct.
Yeah. Well, Lugo's playing.
Right, Lugo, but Lugo can't pitch every day due to his elbow and everything and the like. But that's been the issue. You got to be able to hold on to a 6-run lead. I agree with you about Diaz. And maybe Diaz is a case where you have to sell him at 40 cents on the dollar value. You'd have to swallow a lot of pride, Taz, in order to dump him this offseason, because another team will take it. Will look to pick him up and be a little bit of a reclamation project, because he can still throw the ball 99-100 miles an hour. He's still got arm talent.
Throws gas, but there's no movement at all, and these guys sit dead red on the stuff, and they just jack it, and they just hit dingers left and right. Look, there is some good news. Ramos, he's still got the hit streak going. What is he at, 27 games?
I think it's 26. I think it's 26.
So
it might be off.
For me as a Met fan, that's great.
Well, that's positive. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. Tough, man.
That's
tough.
All you got is tough?
Yeah. Well, because I'm trying to be optimistic. You know me, I'm a positive guy.
Well, you need Wheeler to bounce back in a game that'll be on YouTube this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I'll be locked in.
It's a YouTube game this afternoon. They close out their series against Washington.
Why?
And then they have an off day Thursday, and then the Phillies come to town for a weekend set.
That should be fun. Let me ask you a question. Why? I mean, why does it have to be on YouTube? I don't want to watch baseball on YouTube. I've dealt with this early in the year. I don't want to watch. I want to watch it on television.
You know, Taz.
Maybe I'm an old man.
It's
I want to watch
Avenue Revenue Stream.
It's annoying.
Who is it? F.P. Santangelo, Al Leiter, and who?
Scott Braun.
Oh, the great Scott Braun.
Scott Braun. You said
on
that
YouTube.
Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the sign from Lloyd Braun. Remember with the gum? It's a good gum.
Oh,
gum joke.
I do remember the episode.
Lord, bro, it was funny, right?
You have an act like recall of Seinfeld.
Who, me?
Yes.
Act like Ackerman?
Rich Ackerman. You and Ackerman.
Really? He's a big
Seinfeld
guy?
We should honestly do one day a Seinfeld game show contest between Ack and Taz and see who wins.
Oof.
I honestly, your recall and Ack's recall of Seinfeld. It's
real
just
good, huh?
You guys are neck and neck.
I was a huge. I still watch it. I'm a huge fan. I've been a fan for years. Just like you were a fan of it. But my fear on that is I would lose, and this is why. When Seinfeld was in its prime, I was in my prime, so I was on the road a lot. So I did miss some episodes.
I understand.
Where Ack was probably sitting there with a bowl of cheese doodles.
Well,
watching.
But he might have been. But I would like. We should do that. Honestly, that would be a fun.
Oh, wait, you're setting me up to get beat up here?
No. Taz,
is he going to beat me?
Taz, you reference Seinfeld at least twice a week on our show. So you do go back to the Seinfeld references, you know, and you get Bilotti chuckling like a 10-year-old girl back there.
Imagine if you played the drop of the music.
Well,
that's a whole other story.
So, I think we should do that. I think there should be a Seinfeld off between Rich Ackerman and Taz.
Seinfeld off.
Yes. See, who's the biggest Seinfeld fan of CBS Sports Radio? Between the two-time world champion, two-and-a-half-time world champion, Taz.
Well said.
And Rich Ackerman.
I'm also an ECW Grand Champion, former WWE Tag Team Champion.
Just go with it.
And a multi-time. Oh, there it is. Wow, we're done with the segment. Great timing.
I think that should be that. I think we got to do that.
Real quick, speaking of Seinfeld, I don't know if you guys watch Comedian Cause. Sometimes it's his gimmick on.
Yes.
My wife and I watched one the other day, which Seinfeld had Eddie Murphy. Oh, my God. In the car with him?
Oh.
Dude, you got to watch. Just find it on. I think, what's it on, Netflix? I think it's Netflix.
Yeah, it is Netflix, I believe.
Dude, you got to watch it.
But Segley, we got to get that done.
No. I'm not as good as you think.
Yeah, I do think. I will lay odds. Yeah, but, I will make who the morning line, the betting favorite is.
I'm just trying to have fun. I mentioned Seinfeld.
This would be great. I think it would be so. Who would win? Ackerman would take such great pride in it.
No, I can't let him win.
Don't you understand? Ackerman takes great pride in his Seinfeld. Well,
the guy probably never won nothing in his life. Let's be honest. But so I don't mean that in a negative way.
Play nice.
I don't mean that in a negative way.
Probably won nothing. Never won anything in his life. I mean,
hard ass Joe. Yeah, I know. It came out wrong. You know. So sometimes I'm not PC, but I mean I've won a lot of things. You know. But the thing is, like, when it comes to stuff like that, I worry, Moose, because. Oh. That's Knopf City, when someone that just sits in front of a TV and they memorize. I didn't do that. I just have, you know, some things that are funny from Seinfeld that
I
remember.
But you have
you're overhyping me a little bit, bro.
I'm not a little concerned with that. I think we got to get that done.
But now you got me. You know how I am with competitions, and now it's like, this is a problem.
Yeah, well, we got to work on it. Then you got to brush up on
now
it.
I got to study.
Swagger Jones.
You know what Oaken aside. Years ago, I bought my wife, this is how old, long
the DVD
ago,
set?
The DVD set. Huge DVD
I'm
set.
I'm sure.
She's yet to open it.
Oh.
That's a fact. She's like, why am I going to watch? I could watch them on the reruns on TBS.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Happy Mother's Day. Still sitting in the bottom of the pantry, wherever the hell it is.
Coach is still angry talking about audibles. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Josh in Denver. Did you guys watch Hard Knocks at all? Yeah, a little bit.
Wow. Josh, you know, if you listen to Taz and Moose, we've watched it a good amount. I watched it more than Moose.
That's correct.
I'm starting to peter out though a little bit, bro. It's starting to get a little bit like I'm realizing with this Hard Knocks, there's nothing. Whoa. There's no substance to it. There's no thread.
There's no hook.
I gotta be honest, and I wasn't always a big fan of John Gruden, but he carries the thing. His character, his demeanor. He's funny, man. He's entertaining as hell. Total charisma guy, hard-ass coach, player's coach. And they had, I think I told you about this, they had the comedian Frank Cataliendo. I meant to say his name.
Cataliendo.
He came in and did the impersonation up to the whole team.
I did see that.
That
very
was
good.
Fun. That was very entertaining. Yeah, that was funny. But otherwise, it was all about Antonio Brown. That's what the whole thing was about, like his foot, the frostbite, is he going to play, the helmet. The latest episode, I think, happened, what's today, Wednesday or Tuesday? If the holiday, I'm confused with days.
It happened last
today's
night.
Today's Wednesday. Last night.
Yes, sir. Got it. So today is Wednesday. Got it. Okay. Hump day, as we call it in the radio business.
It is. It is. I watched some of it. I had a hard time getting into it.
I guess Josh in Denver's new to Taz and the Moose. Pay attention, son.
Well, and we get new calls, new listeners every single day, Taz, cultivating the fan base. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Oh, look who's to my
What's
right.
What's up, Andrew?
This is rare.
Yes, because we have a guest coming in, so we asked him to move.
Can't use another microphone. Mike got to move.
Happy hump day, guys.
Happy hump day.
Take it.
Thanks, Moose. Here's your report. It's sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. 6 years and $90 million with about $50 million guaranteed. Those are the reported terms of the extension Ezekiel Elliott has signed with the Cowboys. Zeke expected to practice today and then to play Sunday's opener with the Giants. Elliott is now the highest paid running back in NFL history, while Jared Goff breaks Carson Wentz's mark for the most guaranteed money ever, $110 million. a max of 134 through a four-year extension with the Rams. And at least one team said to have talked with the Chargers about holdout running back Melvin Gordon. The Bolts apparently asking for a first and fifth round pick. Baseball last night, the Houston Astros lost in Milwaukee 4-2, but appear to have dodged a bigger defeat.
The kick and the pitch. And Braun hits it pretty well to center. Springer is going back, still back at the wall. Leaps, makes the catch right in front of the wall, and hits the ground hard. Springer in some pain. He's rolling around on the warning track right in front of the wall.
That's Robert Ford on Astros Radio. Springer eventually sat up, driven off the field. Post-game, manager A.J. Hinch said he's being evaluated for head injury, but is day-to-day for now. The Nationals scored seven times in the ninth to stun the Mets 11-10. Kurt Suzuki clubbing a three-run homer off the ghost of Edwin Diaz to end things. The A's got by the Angels 7-5. They're now in a virtual tie for the second AL wildcard with Cleveland, 6-5 home losers to the White Sox. Serena Williams won. Roger Federer lost last night at the U.S. Open. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We're now a pleasure to be joined here by legendary edge rusher Cowboys, Broncos, and DeMarcus Ware working with Snickers. We'll get to that momentarily. Joins us. Hey, DeMarcus, Taz in the Moves with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's up?
Good. How's New York treating you? All right?
Hey, this is the Big Apple, man. I'm trying to take a bite out of it.
You are. Hey, listen, you got great weather. It's not, actually not that humid right now. It's not that cold. Yeah. You're coming to... coming a couple months, be a little chilly, as you know. You played against the Giants at times, so you know the deal.
Hey, you know the thing is, it's always cold when I come up here. It doesn't matter if it's early in the season or later in the season. The cold comes because that's when the Giants play really well. So I'm glad that the weather is good right now because I'm not playing.
It cuts right through you. Well, let's ask you about one of your former teams. How about the Cowboys, Elliott, getting the contract he was looking for? You know, 6 years, $90 million, $50 million of that guaranteed, DeMarcus. How about, you know, held out and, you know, the Jerry and Steven blinked a little bit. He gets the deal that he was looking for.
I think that's awesome for Zeke, especially just the whole organization. They have their chain chewer back.
Right.
A guy that's going to move the chains, help out Dak, and do what they need to do to win football games. Because they have a great defense, really, really young defense, but they're flying around. They got all of their pieces they need on offense, and now them signing, I feel like their cornerstone of their team, their face of their team, that's what
he's
they
like the hood ornament. It's, of the team.
Yeah,
really
like
is,
no matter what, you got to have that guy that no matter what, you give him the football, it's going to be some type of result.
Right.
And that's what they got now.
Well, from a player's perspective, so, you know, he missed all preseason in camp. You know, you guys are grinding out there in camp. It's hot, you know.
Right.
You know where I'm going with this. So when he rolls in now before the season, not that anybody's going to be ticked off at him, but, you know, what's the feel, Blake? Bring us behind the scenes. How do you think that locker room, they're going to embrace him, I'm sure, even though he missed all that work? Because he's locked into the playbook. He knows what he's doing. He's, you know, he knows the offense and all that jazz. But from a player's
perspective.
The thing
is, like, does he really know the offense? Because you got, you know, Keelan, right? Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, Kitna and, you know, Jason Garrett taking a little back seat. You know, are the plays going to be a little bit different? But if they are the same, I'm that guy that's sitting in there being a defensive captain. When I see the offensive guy come in there like Zeke, I'm like, I'm so glad he's back.
Because now
I don't have to be on the field
as much. Back, I can actually rush the passer. Back, right?
Yeah. And then the thing is, like, what I'm going to be looking for in practice is when he gets the football, what kind of burst he has. I'm not worried about if he's going to get hit or not. He knows that.
Sure.
That's easy.
He's a pretty tough cat, too.
How long can he sustain it? So I'm going to be watching him in practice and see how tired he gets.
Right.
And if he doesn't get tired, I'm like, okay, he's been doing what he needs to do. I'm not really worried about he's been off since training camp because I know he's going to come in real fresh.
Right.
Fresh legs. You know about the fresh legs.
Fresh legs, of course.
And he's going to go out there and crush it.
You know, and you know, when you look at, you know, this Cowboy team, I'm curious, DeMarcus. I mean, obviously you played longer with Dallas than you did Denver. Where did you enjoy, like, home field advantage? Where did you enjoy playing more?
Home field advantage, I would say in Dallas when we played at the old stadium.
Mm.
So we played at the old stadium, and if we play like a 1 o'clock game, the sun actually sits on the other side, and so the sun is beaming 105 on one side and it's 90 on our side. And you can see, like, they have, like, the oxygen tanks.
Yeah.
And then when I played at Denver, we had such an advantage because the guys couldn't breathe the first 10 plays because they're not used to it.
Yeah, right.
And so we did a high-powered, fast, quick offense, get them really tired. And so then we're used to that. Yeah. And then we use it to our advantage.
It took your time to adjust once you went to Denver,
it took
right?
a little time. Yeah. It took a little, like 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks for your body to adjust?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. You did your, like when you first got there, your cardio, were you outside? You had to go outside.
I felt like I had cardio until I started walking up the stairs and got really tired. So there was no cardio. Yeah. I was gassed. But it took a little while for me to get in shape. Their Denver shape, high altitude,
yeah,
and they use it to their advantage, and that crowd is pumping.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It's like a college crowd. Yeah. It's different.
A lot
Shirts
of energy,
off,
yeah.
a lot yeah. of orange.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
real.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's cool. 12th man now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, how good DeMarcus did it finally feel? I mean, you're a legendary defensive end, getting after the quarterback, but how good did it feel to finally win
Super Bowl? I often say winning was good, but the Super Bowl was amazing because you play your whole career for that game to where I worked all through OTAs, all through training camp, and the team that has gotten us here is a team that's going to make history. Mm. And once we got there and played against the Carolina Panthers, it's almost like we knew we were going to win because we were so prepared. No matter who we played, if it was 14 seconds left and we were down by 3 points, we're still going to win the football game.
Yeah.
And we had that motto of iron sharpens iron, another man sharpens another. We did not care. Because my dude that I'm playing with,
sure.
we're together.
Well, that Phillips defense was, I mean, he, yeah. as a yeah. defensive coordinator, yeah. he crazy. Had you guys dialed yeah. in that game.
Really good.
And it's crazy with Wade because you can actually, when you talk to him, he's really quiet and chill.
Yeah.
And so in the meetings, he's like, okay, guys, we had 5 sacks and we're number one in the
you
NFL.
Behind the scenes, that's how he was. He wasn't
yeah,
like
no,
a main
we're number one in the wow. NFL and we're going to blitz a little bit this week and you guys have good practice. It's like that. But then all of a sudden, football game, it's like all these blitzes and he's like pumped and like going. I'm like, he has split personality. But I'm like, this is what we want. I'm like, this is what we want, though.
That's great.
Hey, listen, man, you played against some of the better offensive linemen in the game. So I got to ask you, toughest, you know, off the edge for you coming defensively, offensive tackle-wise, or just old linemen in general, who's one of the better guys you want to give props to?
I would say Walter Jones. Mm-hmm. Walter Jones for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
71.
Yep, yep.
I can see that number in my head right now. As a rookie, I played against him in my first game. It took me 4 years to get a sack on him.
Wow.
Yes. And when they first showed tape on him, he was not at training camp. He didn't go to training camp. And he was actually pushing a car up the hill with chains.
Come on.
In Alabama.
Really?
And I said, who does this? And so I started watching tape, and he was, like, mauling guys and, like, throwing them on the sideline. Like, I'm talking about until the guys are sitting.
Yeah.
When you get from the middle of the field, and you are a defensive end, and you have a run play, and he pushes you all the way to the sideline where the players are, how embarrassing they are. He didn't do it to me, but I saw him doing it to a lot of players. I was like, man, this guy's got to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I had to dodge him. I was, like, the expert dodger
yeah.
that game, but yeah. that was, like, that guy, Walter Jones.
He was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Best defensive teammate you ever played with, was it Miller in Denver?
I would say Miller in Denver because he, first of all, when I first got there, he struck a fire under me because he was just more athletic than I was. You know, I just had the technique. And playing with a guy like Miller, I can look on the other side knowing that I'm going to get the same result as what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
Double team or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So Von Miller, for
Von
sure.
Miller, yeah, no, legit. Edge rushes today, you know, it's super popular.
Yeah,
you're one of the guys that one of the first quote unquote edge rushes to get that name. Once I got that name, but guys today, there's so many talented guys off the edge. Hit me one or two guys that you kind of look at like, wow, this guy's the real deal.
I would say edge rusher wise, I always go to it with Aaron Donald,
right.
And not saying that he's not an edge rusher, but. He's an all-around dude. It really doesn't matter where
athlete,
you put
yeah.
Aaron Donald at. And like Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And when I saw Myles Garrett at the Pro Bowl, when I was captain at the Pro Bowl, I didn't know he was that big. Like he was like 6'6", probably about 280 pounds, like 10% body fat.
Damn.
I'm looking like,
it's
man.
Insane.
And then go to the whole other side of the NFC is Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Like Khalil Mack is so disruptive. When he plays, not just rushing a passer. I'm like, how many forced fumbles are you going to get to get in the football game? Three or four, but not just doing it, but scoring too.
Yeah.
So it's a plethora of those guys. And when you get guys like that that can make plays and make a difference in the football game, That's what you want.
We're talking to DeMarcus Ware, legendary Cowboy and Denver Bronco. You're working with Snickers, DeMarcus. Tell us a little bit about the program.
You know, I'm here with Snickers right now, really awarding the hungriest player and fan, right? Not just on-the-field performance, but off-the-field accolades. Because this right here is a great opportunity, and you can see the chain here.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Which is amazing.
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to be able to each week nominate that guy for what they're bringing to the table. And the fans can also get involved, too. They can go to at Snickers handles, right?
On social media.
Yeah. And then they can actually still get involved, and they can win things, too, through Snickers. But we want everybody to get involved, the 12th man, because that's what's the most important thing, right? And each one of these guys, each week, are going to be in this chain is going to be able to travel.
Really?
That's going to be awesome.
Now, is it traveling like the Stanley Cup travels? It's going to be traveling.
Yeah, it does have a security team. It's going to be traveling to a point to where there's going to be a story at the end of the season where whatever value this chain is worth is going to be given to that person's charity.
Oh, that's great.
Fantastic. And the fan gets to be involved. So that's what I really like about this opportunity. It's not just about performance. It's the off-the-field stuff, too, that gets gratification.
I was wondering, maybe you could leave that here with us.
No, we're not going to leave this. This is going with me. We're not going
to
do that.
Well, hold on, DeMarcus. Don't worry about
it. Come on,
man. We're trustworthy. I mean, you've known us for a solid 10 minutes.
10 minutes we know each other.
Yeah, right, exactly. I love hearing some of the old stories. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the back and forth you had with Parcells.
You know what? Parcells, one thing he always talked about is being battle-hardened. And I'm like, what does that mean? But when Zeke doesn't go to training camp, that's what he means by battle hard. And I want you to go through the OTAs. I want you to get a little grit. I want you to go through training camp and get the grit. But also I want you to give me my orange Gatorade that I enjoy as a rookie. And I didn't know that as a rookie you come in and Bill Parcells, what he would do is, like, let's say that you're practicing on the 40-yard line on your side. He would walk on the other side of the end zone and wait for you when the bell, you know, when the whistle blows, and he would say, "Where's my Gatorade?" And so one of the trainers gave me blue Gatorade one time. So I walked over there and gave him blue Gatorade. He looks at me, he's like, "I don't like blue Gatorade." I'm like, "Why are you always playing these mind games with me?" You know, and being upset about it. But eventually you get to a point where you start listening. But he played so many mind games. And if he played for a guy like Bill Parcells, he wouldn't be playing. Like I'm talking about Zeke.
Really, physique,
right now.
Yeah.
He won't.
Yeah, I bet you a lot of these guys
be battle hardened.
Yeah.
He wants you to be battle hardened.
Yeah.
He wants you to go through the whole process so I know exactly what I got.
Mm.
But it's different.
Yeah.
It's different now.
It's different time.
It's different time now, and I feel like a fresh Zeke coming in is going to be good for the Cowboys.
But do you think you're a better player for playing for Parcells?
I think I was a more gritty player.
Okay.
Meaning that I can play through injuries, because you know how some guys, if they bend a finger, they're not going to be in football.
Right, right. They get soft.
But, no matter what, I played 90 plays a game as a defensive end. And I didn't come out.
Yeah.
And now and you got guys playing 30.
You have some motor,
you have
man.
To have a motor.
Motor.
That's what he always says.
Yeah.
I want you to have a motor.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have a rec league player. So you better listen to what I'm talking about. I remember all of these little quotes.
The rest of your life, I bet, that's going to stay
in your head. It's always in there.
He seems like he was type pay your dues type thing.
Yeah, you have to pay your dues. And once you build that connection
respect,
with him.
Respect each other.
He pulls off. You're good.
Really?
I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, and then you probably had a pick up the younger guys that were going through it after you.
Right.
Like, listen, man, just play the game. Just learn. You know,
right.
It's a mind, you know what.
Right. Because the thing is, like, I was at defensive end. I'm used to playing in a 9 technique outside of everybody. And Bill Parcells played a 6 technique where you have to be head up on the tight end if you're rushing or pass blocking. So I told him, I said, let me get in the 9 technique one time and let me rush the passer. And he said, well, Sean Merriman. You know, because it was me at 11, Sean Merriman, number 20. So I should have picked Sean Merriman. I said, well, then put me in a 9 technique then. So he puts me in a 9 technique, and I go in there and get a sack. And he looks at the sideline, and the face that he gives you, he's just like, that's it.
Just a little point.
Yeah, like,
all right, not bad.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I see.
And from that point on, I played a 9 technique my whole career.
That's great.
For Bill.
That's a great story.
That is great. There's always, obviously, when you talk to former Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Redskins, you know, you always kind of, you know, the team that most, in that division, Because once you're a part of that division, you're always a part of that.
Yeah.
Which team did you love to hate when you were a Cowboy? Which team did you love to go up against? What do you think was the Cowboys' biggest rival?
I would say the Washington Redskins.
Really?
Yeah, we were, no matter what, if they were, 1-15, if they were 15-0, it doesn't matter. That game we played against the Washington Redskins was the hardest game ever in my career. And you had the Clinton Portis. You had, it was a lot of guys that can freaking love to play.
Moose, then, big Redskin fan.
And then the Giants. The Giants was hard, too.
Yeah.
Because when they had Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, hitting that dude.
He's a big dude.
He's like an offensive lineman running a linebacker.
It was ridiculous. So those games were those big rival games. So any of those NFC East games, I knew I had to really strap my chin strap up and put my chin strap on.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the current NFC East, and I'm feeling like the Cowboys, now with Zeke there, the positivity there, I think they're going to run away with it. Moose disagrees a little bit. He thinks it's going to be a two-team deal with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Your thoughts? You think the Cowboys are kind of locked?
I think the Cowboys can pull it out. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like, how healthy can they be because of their depth? Yeah. On the defensive line. To me, I feel like the defensive line is everything. They're stacked on offense. They're stacked the last seven on their defense, but like their defensive line, there's a little bit of scuffle in there. And I want to say, okay, how much depth are they going to have at the end of the season? They can get there. Right. That's no problem. But it's all about injuries with that.
Of course.
And I just want to see how that fans out.
DeMarcus, final one. Which defensive player do you love watching now?
I will say Aaron Donald. I like watching Aaron Donald. I got to do some pass rush stuff with him this all season, working on a lot of hand stuff. Mm. And he's one of those guys where he was a sponge. You know, when you have a player that's the best at what they do, but they come to you and they're a sponge.
Mm.
They're trying to get better.
Gotta love that.
That's why you're so good.
Yeah.
And to see him just, I would just say, manipulate the whole football game.
He does.
And wherever you put him at, he's effective. So I'm excited to see him this year.
The legendary DeMarcus Ware, working with Snickers. Hop online, follow Snickers on social media for the chance to win rewards and see which player receives the chain each week. The first player worthy of the chain toward the end of the regular season, fans will weigh in on selecting the league's hungriest player, who will then award the value of the chain to a charity of his choice. Great program, DeMarcus.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Thank
awesome.
You for spending a couple minutes with us on this Wednesday morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The legendary DeMarcus Ware, Taz and the Moose. We're back with more right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, on this Wednesday morning. Good stuff there with DeMarcus Ware. If you missed any other part of the show, hop online, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, a couple ways you can go about doing it, Taz. Download that podcast each and every day. We appreciate the support that you show us on a day-in, day-out basis.
Well, DeMarcus Ware told some great stories. You and I were talking off air. The Bill Parcells stories never get old.
Oh, they don't.
They're great. And hearing him talk about battles with the Redskins and stuff like that when he was with the Cowboys.
Fantastic.
Real cool. His insight, the stuff he did with Denver, with the Broncos.
Great.
So, go to Apple Podcast and download the show for free every day. You can check it out if you missed DeMarcus on the show with us, or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can do that. So that's the deal. Any updates on your fantasy team for our league? You're good right now? No moves?
No moves. I'm not looking. No, I made the one move. I picked up Jones, the running back from Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
because I put A.J. Green on the pup list or injury list.
Okay, and Pete Gass is still texting me about Devin Singletary from the Buffalo Bills. So now it seems like he wants to make a move at me.
Okay.
But he lied. He said that he wanted a running back, and then I sent him a running back, the kid from the Bears, and then he said, oh, this guy's a scrub too. I'm like, dude, and then he offers me, then he wants one of my starting wide receivers from the Steelers, I told you. I'm like,
Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief. I'm like, enough, dude. Enough for Pete Guess. Really.
I would lay low. Just let your team establish itself.
Moose, you know me.
First
I don't like
week
I don't,
or two.
You know me. I lay low always.
Sometimes you can make a move and then you instantly regret it after the first couple of weeks. Like,
I regret being in the pool at this point, to be honest. So that's kind of.
Welcome aboard.
Yes.
Good to have you.
Exactly. Right, have fun. We got a whole
these
weeks.
I'm excited.
When are we all going to stop bailing? Oh boy. When are we going to start? You know,
don't let's
you
be
know
positive.
What I'm talking about.
No, let's be positive. We're all going to be locked in all year long. Let's be positive.
No, we're not. We're going to be realistic, dude. Honest, you're an honest guy.
I don't know.
Weeks, I'll predict you're going to stop bailing by week. Well, depending on the prize, which you still haven't.
No, last year I bailed because my team had no shot. I drafted Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, now
it wasn't my team.
By the way, hey, Mike, Pete, how about Moose yesterday? He's got the first pick. The draft starts. How predictable was he? He goes Barkley. Like, he didn't even. I respect Moose that you didn't let it drag out and you picked him right away so you get the draft moving.
Let's get it moving.
That I respect that you did that, but it was so predictable. It really was predictable.
He's the best fantasy player in football.
Yeah, because that's what all these experts say.
Oh, you know? That's what I think.
Yeah. I hear you. No, it was a good. You got a good team. You got a good team.
Yes.
Pat Mahomes, you should have won. Yeah, Who got him?
He went 12th overall. You had a shot to draft your Pat Mahomes.
I know.
You went Nick Chubb.
I didn't want to go Nick Chubb.
I took the whole clock to do it, too.
Pick. I know. You were letting it drain. What was that raging debate going on?
I had people in the house. We had chips dip going. We had vegetable pasta I told you about offline. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, so we had all sorts of stuff going on. Very busy. You know, it's just a regular weekday at the house. We got loaded people. We're all getting loaded. That's what we do. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Typical Tuesday.
Yeah, it's just Tuesday. Just get bombed in the afternoon at the house.
Here we go. Here's the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers start their season tomorrow versus the Bears.
That's
my coach, Matt LaFleur, is done talking about audibles.
I recall talking at the combine, you mentioned that audibles weren't a big part of the offense.
You guys just will not stop with this audible thing. It's unbelievable. What do you guys want me to say?
I find it interesting that it hadn't been a big part of it in the past, but maybe it's going to be now. Is that going to be a big adjustment on your part?
This guy's scrambling.
Yeah, I think that we've always had adjustments within our plays. Like, it's just we called it something different. And the fact that I didn't call it an audible, everybody's running wild with it. So it's comical to me, but... Like I said, I feel good with what we've got in our plan, how we've gotten to this point, and I'm confident that he's got a total command and control of what we're trying to get done.
Well, there you go. So he doesn't want to hear about all of them.
I got to tell you, dude, I could listen to that guy from the reporter there interviewing him. I could listen to that guy scramble. When LaFleur went back at him, it was very funny. I'm gonna ask you, It was like he didn't know what to say.
Well, I mean,
it was
LaFleur could have been.
LaFleur was a heel.
Well, yeah. Everyone's caught up on audibles because it's been, you know, it was a huge part of the Packers' offense for years. The comfort zone of Aaron Rodgers, no?
But I wasn't aware until you said, I think it was yesterday when you said that Rodgers has
the freedom,
the creative freedom to just
right.
I didn't know that until you said it. I'm like, wow, I learned things all the time on Taz the Moose, even if you're Taz.
That's it.
I was like, all right, Moose. I didn't know that.
I think it's going to be a good year for that Packers offense. I think Rodgers has a really good year.
Yeah, I think so.
I love the dynamic young wide receivers. I think Aaron Jones running the football as well. I think it's going to be certainly they needed a freshening. They needed a new head coach. They got a new head coach, Taz. I'd be surprised that the Packers had a down year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be real good, too. It's going to be interesting. I think that Aaron Rodgers, for a guy with his success, I do think he has a chip on his shoulder. So we'll see what happens.
There you go. Our thanks to DeMarcus Ware for joining us earlier on the show. Mike, good job. Pete, good job. Bogish as well. Everyone on the calls as well. Thanks for chiming in and contributing. Taz, good stuff as always, brother.
Yes, Moose, great job. Thank you, everybody. Mike, Pete, everybody, Andrew. Thanks, and DeMarcus Ware and all that. Thank you.
Till tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.